أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا، قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم ومن عنده علم الكتاب. صدق الله العظيم. The verse I recited before you is the concluding verse of chapter 13 in Juz 13 verse 43, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the disbelievers allege that you're not a prophet. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they refute your prophethood. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. And the disbelievers say, no, you're not a prophet, you're not a messenger, you're not an envoy, you're not a rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then provides two testimonies and evidence to the prophethood of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Say unto them, قُلْ say, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Listen, if you accept or deny, so be it. Allah is a sufficient proof that I'm a prophet. Allah is a sufficient proof that I am a prophet. When you're genuine in your cause and you're devoted, you're not going to necessarily secure the compliments of those that are around you. If you're committed, you're doing everything within your means, the Almighty is aware of your motives, and that is enough. Of course, you mustn't be falling short in your duty. You cannot latch on to that and be incompetent and deficient. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim innaka lamina al mursaleen. Allah swears an oath, surely you are from amongst the prophets. In Bayan al Quran, it is written, what is meant by the testimony of Allah? When Allah said, I am your, the proof that you're a prophet, what is this meant? It refers to the display of supernatural actions at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which Allah is allowing to occur continuously, is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endorsed the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the famous narration that appears in the books of hadith on the occasion of Hunayn, which was right towards the tail end after Fath Makkah, in which great amount of booty came into the lot of the Muslim and into the share of the Muslims. And at that time, there was a person by the name of Safwan bin Umayyah, amongst others, who was a disbeliever, but he was softening up to the concept of Islam. His hostility was now getting toned down. He wasn't so aggressive. He wasn't so harsh. He was now reconsidering the whole thing. But in principle, he was not a Muslim. When the spoils of the war came in from Hawazin and Hunayn, from Hawazin in particular, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was freely distributed. Yeah, take this for you. Yeah, take this for you. You can have this. You can have this. And he's observing this here. And there's this valley of camels. And there's this flock of sheep. And there's this huge assets around. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is observing. How, just as a side point, how vigilant are we to someone? The other day my wife said this to me and it really alerted me. We were in a restaurant eating, and adjacent by there were people standing in a long queue to access the ATM machine. The queue was long and people were standing there half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. And she says, do we ever think while we're eating, there are people that are so close but probably can never get in? How conscious are we? How conscious are we that, you know what, as you're dashing to take, to embrace, to enjoy, to indulge, there's somebody walking close by. For him, the closest he can get is to look with envy. Somebody said, you know, some people are worth 100 bars, but they can't give a beggar a lunch bar. Some people are worth 100 bar. This isn't another, he's worth 100 bar, but he can't give a beggar a lunch bar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, actively doing the whole distribution, observed that Safwan bin Umayyah is staring at these assets with great envy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's not a Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him, took out the time. Yu'jibuka ma tara ya Aba Wahbin. You like what you see? What we would say? Look from far. Don't make nazar. Abu Wahab, do you like what you see? Yes, I do. Okay, take 100 camels for you and go. Take 100 camels and go. He said, Wallahi ma tabat nafsu ahadin bihada illa nafsu nabiyin. Listen, everything else is afterwards. Give me your hand, you're a prophet. You're a prophet, I'm convinced. And this is what the ulama say. Allah is the proof of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood, the display of such profound generosity and selflessness so calmly can only be executed at the hands of a prophet. If I have to hypothetically give it also, then after, yeah, that's 100 pounds, eh? It's not rupees. Yeah, I was just saying, yeah. It's genuine, eh? It's not fake. Yeah, but keep it, man. So the first proof Allah says that you are a prophet is that Allah is the witness. And Allah being the witness means the display of supernatural, such qualities that it's just not humanly possible for a non-prophet, a person who's not a prophet, to display it. In so many situations, so hostile, how calm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, what would quell the situation. Now, the second proof, and I beg for your undivided attention, the second proof of your prophethood, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Every person who has the knowledge of the divine scriptures, be it the Torah or the Injil or the Quran, if a man is reading the divine scriptures, he will testify that you're a prophet. The question obviously comes to each person's mind, well, there are so many scholars, clerics, priests that are reading, mastered, and authorities on the divine scriptures, but rarely do we hear them, or occasionally only do we hear them attesting to the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's the point I want to develop on. In Bayan al-Quran it is written, the people and the scholars of the scriptures are a proof to your prophethood, provided they're not biased. Provided they not bias. Just as the non-biased scholars of the people of the book are testimony to the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah, it takes a non-biased scholar of this ummah from the people of the Quran to guide this ummah. When it comes to a biased scholar, he concealed the truth which was staring him in his face. Allah didn't say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just mentioned in the Torah. Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban fi at-Tawrat. Wow. The scholars write amazing. Allah didn't say that they find the description of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Reflect over the choice of the words. Allah did not say they find the description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah. Allah said yajidunahu, they find Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah. In other words, the detailed description and profiling of the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so convincing and compelling that it left you with no choice but to accept that this is the Prophet. So the people of the book are also a prophet. Bayan al-Quran says, provided they not biased. Because it takes a non-biased scholar to accept. Prophethood has now moved away from Bani Israel into Bani Ismail. It takes a non-biased scholar to say, Allah has accepted that man, and Allah is taking a lot of work from him. It takes a non-biased scholar. It takes a lot of courage. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has spoken about it, where he alerts and he says, beware of the biased scholar. Beware of the biased scholar. What he would do to you, يحسون عليك عثراتك في حال عشرتهم حتى يجبهوك بها في غضبهم ومناظرتهم، لا يقيلون لك عثرة ولا يغفرون لك زلة ولا يسترون لك عورة، يحاسبون على النقير والقطمير ويحسدون على القليل والكثير، وحرضوا عليك الإخوان بالنميمة والبلاغات والبهتان. He will microscopically analyze your moves. When he sees one thing out of line, he will run with it. He will incite people against you. My message today is, don't be biased. When there's a family feud and we need a senior to intervene, we don't need a biased senior. We need a non-biased senior. Otherwise, call a junior who's non-biased, then call in an old-aged biased man who all he can see in the feud, how his child is right and how his son-in-law is wrong, and how his son is right and his daughter-in-law is wrong. And these are not seniors. They're not helping our cause. So those who were genuine from amongst the scholars, who were non-biased, what's the key word today? Bias. Those who were non-biased, they came out clean. They said, this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the likes of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, and Allah repeatedly praised him in many, many different verses of the Quran. Let's elaborate and let us see how Islam impresses upon us to be non-biased. Say the truth, be honest, be candid, have the courage. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. That's what has crippled us today. Prejudice, bias, favoritism. So it negatively influences your decision. How can you be a judge, an advocate, representing your client regardless of the merits of the case? As a believer, you stand for truth. You don't stand for your client regardless of what the situation is, which the Quran says, لَيَّمْ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. You start twisting your tongue. But it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to say it as it is. As a mother-in-law, as a daughter-in-law, can you have the confidence and be non-biased and salute the new girl in your house or salute the new mom in your family and say, my mom-in-law is amazing, my daughter-in-law is amazing, she cooks amazing, she bakes amazing, he's got great skill. Don't be biased. Amongst the people of the book, the Quran says, look at Islam. Amongst the people of the book are those, man in ta'manhu biqintarin. If you give them a treasure of gold, that is the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, Yahud and the Nasara, biqintarin, they so honest, yu'addihi ilayk, they will pay you back in total detail. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ. And there are others that if you give them one dinar also, لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ, they won't pay you back, إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا, until you stand on their head asking your right. And from this, the scholars say that it is correct to stand on the head of a debtor, meaning to pursue him when he's defaulting in payment. You're within your right and your space. You know, people say, hey, don't keep on asking money, you're ruining the friendship. Right? What friendship is left? You're not paying me and you're saying ruining. What friendship is left? So you have a right, you have a right. Now, there's two arguments here. Allah praises, acknowledges, pays tribute to the honesty of people from the other faiths. The verse of the Quran, please go open the reference and read. This could either imply the people of the book who became Muslims, the likes of Abdullah bin Salam, the likes of Najashi. So Allah is then paying tribute to a Muslim who was formerly from the people of the book, like Abdullah bin Salam, who was a Jewish priest, rabbi, became a Muslim. Well, then there's no issue because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging, complimenting the good, the virtue of a believer. But the other argument is, and this is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran, academic language, that the ayat does not categorically, explicitly say the believers from the people of the book. The Quran says, from the people of the book, some are so honest, some are so candid, some are so trustworthy. So he says that by taking this opinion, we need to be cognizant of two things. Number one, ek hai mahmood hona aur ek hai maqbool hona. One is when you do an action, it is worthy of praise. It's a separate thing that due to the absence of the article of Iman, this good action won't yield you eternal benefits in Akhirah, but it will buy you airtime in this world in the form of goodness, prosperity, etc. And this interpretation of praising the people of the book who are not Muslims indicates that Islam is the furthest away from being biased and prejudiced. This is the interpretation. It indicates that Islam compliments someone that has good. Listen, it's a separate thing. If you don't have faith, you're not going to see benefits beyond your eyes closure. But in this world, wow, that's amazing. You're honest. You're great. That's wonderful. Can you have the courage to compliment your employee? Or are you too biased, believing that only you right? It takes a lot of courage. And those who will have the courage will prosper. And they will be a source of guidance and motivation. In the fifth juz of the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, in chapter 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an incident that there was a dispute. A dispute had occurred between a Yahud and a Munafiq. The Munafiq alleged he was a Muslim, claimed outwardly, apparently, superficially. The Yahud was clear that he was not a Muslim. So when the dispute occurred, ironically, the Yahud is saying, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling the Munafiq, like, to your prophet, you're a Muslim, we go to your prophet. And the Munafiq is saying, no, we go to Ka'b bin Ashraf, your leader. So the irony of the whole thing is, each one is pulling to the opposite's leader. The Yahud is saying, we want to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Munafiq is saying, no, no, we will go to Ka'b bin Ashraf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about this. So they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the truth in the merits of the case was that the Yahud, the Jew, was correct. That's the reality of the matter in the merits of the case. Notwithstanding the faith or the apparent affiliation or inclination or superficial reflection, when you analyze the merits of the case, you who allege you're a believer, you are lying. And you who not a believer, but in the case of this matter, you spoke the truth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then pronounced the verdict in favor of the Yahud. No, you know how it was. It was my cousin there. Hey, I had to make a decision. Then it was my boss's wife and ish. What? Alam tara ila alladhina yaz'umun. Unimpressed by the decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Munafiq then insists that the matter must be taken to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And the matter was presented to Umar, and he heard the merits of the case, processing his judgment. In the interim, the Yahud made mention that we've just returned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for purposes of record. Umar said, what? He said, no, we've been to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, that was a sufficient trigger for Umar radiallahu anhu, that's an insult of the greatest nature, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has presided over this matter, and then you come in to ask for my input. And obviously, Umar radiallahu anhu gave him a blow and dealt with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addressed this whole issue in great detail in the Quran. Alam tara ila alladhina yaz'umuna annahum amanu bima unzila ilayka wa ma unzila min qablik yuriduna an yatahakamu ila at-taghut. Have you not seen these people? Now this is serious stuff. Have you not seen these people who claim they love you, they obey you, they follow divine guidance? Many people are very selectively, choosing the importance of Sharia when it suits their verdict and their opinion. Yaz'umun, they claim, annahum amanu, they bring iman on you and what was revealed before you. But when there's a dispute and they know they in the wrong and they want to twist the wrong, then yuriduna an yatahakamu, then suddenly the Sharia goes on hold. Then the laws of Islam disappear. Then the seniors go out. Why? Because they want to tamper with the truth. You gave talaq in that feud, you gave talaq. Don't go to a ruling where you're going to get something out. You're playing with yourself and you're mocking yourself. Be honest and candid. Recently in a marriage that broke up, I really pay tribute to this particular brother who was the parent of one of the partners. And I don't want to even indicate which partner because people can pick up a lot of hints and messages. And the relation was, the union was there for over 2 decades. And there was a sit-in and I was called into that sit-in as well. And I really appreciated what this man said. He said, see, I must be honest with you. There was 18 years of bliss in this union. Things have become turbulent in the last 2 years. I'm not going to say this union was turbulent from day one. Wow, that's amazing. Your marriage is breaking up. Your wife was a good mother. She raised your children. Yes, unfortunately, compatibility is not there. Your wife, your marriage is breaking up. Your husband was a good man. Don't write it off. Be honest. Don't be biased. Don't write off everything. No, I've been working here, you know what, for 10 years. They did nothing for me. No. From renting, you bought a house. From Uber, you're driving a car. From simple things, you've moved up. Now things are not working between you and the bosses. You're parting ways. But don't say things were nasty from the word go. Because people who are biased will even deny the prophethood of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when it stares them in their eyes. There's the famous incident. Oops. Okay. I'll try and be quick with it. The famous hadith in Bukhari where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left some wealth of zakat with me. Fa'atani atin, an intruder came. Faja'ala yahthu min at-ta'am, and he started stealing. So in the night I apprehended him. I said, hey, you cannot be stealing. You know, when you read about the pious, last night I was talking. And I said this in my talk, and I'll just say a touch of it again. I said, the pious took every opportunity to earn Jannah. We take every opportunity to earn a buck. Every opportunity. I know of a friend in Sri Lanka. So there was some Canadian community from Canada that were visiting. And they said to him, we're building a masjid. And subsequently, I visited the masjid in Canada as well, which was built by the Sri Lankan community, Masjidul Jannah, and I gave a talk there as well. So he said they came to me, and they said they're doing a collection. I thought to myself, Ya Allah, I don't know if I'll go to that country also, and I don't know if I'll have a spiritual investment, but here you allowing a spiritual investment to come to my door. I can't turn it away. And he then donated a handsome amount. So every opportunity how I can buy Jannah. There was a brother who I know of, that somebody had asked him for forex in a particular country. And he said, I had excess amount, so I gave it to that person, and that person said, I will settle you in South African rands. So he contacted me and he said, you know what? I didn't need the forex, and I don't even need the equivalent in rands. Can you receive it and distribute it on my part? I'm just thinking here, Allah is sending the opportunity of Jannah to me. We in to make a buck everywhere. The pious were in to make Jannah everywhere. So all these people can stand up as testimony for them. May Allah make us like that. May Allah give us that ability. Hey, you know what? Look with the eye. How can I convert this into positive energy for my akhirah? Okay, so I said the pious in the interaction. Malik bin Dinar, once a thief came in his house to steal, but he was a pious person, so he couldn't find any tangibles and assets. So he got in the house, he seen nothing. So Malik bin Dinar said, probably wrong house, you know. But anyway, listen, you came to steal here. You didn't find anything material. Can I offer you something spiritual? Can I offer you something? فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ. So he's like... perplexed. Now, what is this man saying? He said, yeah, tawadda, perform wudu, salli rak'atayn, performed 2 units of prayer. Then he performed 2 units. Just after that, Fajr Adhan was called out. Malik bin Dinar held him and went to the masjid. So people said, Malik, who is this with you? He said, Ja'a li yasriq fasaraqnahu. He came to steal, but alhamdulillah, we stole him. I say alhamdulillah in inverted commas, meaning we managed to secure him. So the hadith is in Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, person came to steal. So I intercepted him. I said, this is zakat. This is not mine. It's an amana. So he said, please, you know what? I'm in a crisis. I've got a lot to do and I've got my family. So I felt sorry for rahimtuhu fakhallaytu sabilahu. I pitied him and I said, go. In the morning, look at the richness of Sahaba and the fortune of Sahaba. Last night's events, last night's dreams, last night's occurrences, you bounce it off the Nabi of Allah directly. Not, hey, Maulana, I needed to call you. You won't believe last night I had a dream. Now I'm not sure if it was after Fajr or before Fajr, but you're not sure if you're up or you're sleeping now also. Straight to the Nabi of Allah, straight to headquarters. Wow, what an honor. Abu Huraira is a liar. He'll be there tonight. So I knew, farasattuhu, I waited. As he came, I pounced on him again. I said, come on, this is nonsense. Last night, sad story. Today, you come in with your same old story. Abu Huraira, I promise you, it's bad, it's tough, it's challenging, it's dire. I bought into his tale and I let him go. Narrated it to Nabi Sassam back and forth. Nabi Sassam said, he's a liar, he's going to be back again. Okay. Third night, he comes back. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, now I apprehend him. And I said, listen, there's no way I'm releasing you. This is just a habit that you are just repeating, ongoing all the time. So he says, Da'ni u'allimuka kalimat. Okay, can I negotiate with you? Leave me, I teach you something. The hadith of Bukhari. We're talking, don't be biased. Don't be biased. Have the courage. When somebody is right, say it is right. When somebody is good, say it is good. When somebody has a skill, praise the skill. That will make good of you, and that will make good of our society. So, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, okay, what you want to teach me? He said, إِذَا أَوَيْتَ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِكْ فَقْرَ آيَةَ الْكُرْسِ. When you go and sleep, then read آيَةَ الْكُرْسِ. You know, they say, الشَّيْطَانُ نَوْعَانُ. أحدهما يخاف من آية الكرسي والثاني يخاف من فقدان الكرسي. You get 2 types of shaitans. One who's afraid of ayatul kursi, and the other one who's afraid of losing his kursi. You get 2 types of shaitan. One person had a donkey and he put a chair on it. So he said, Namana, what's this? He said, rather a chair on a donkey than a donkey on a chair. It might be humor, but it's deep. It might be banter, but it is soul-searching. We hoard in our positions. And where's the taqwa to rule, to govern our institutions? Where's the taqwa to govern those that are sitting and hoarding and holding on to it with dear life? There isn't that taqwa that you can remain in office indefinitely. These are public amenities. Umar ibn Khattab is asking the people, if you see me doing wrong, what will you do? We straighten you with the sword with which you straighten us. Alhamdulillah, as long as that is the case, I'm in office. Wow. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala fi ummati Muhammad man yuqawwimu i'wijaja Umar bi sayfi Umar. But when you go to sleep, read Ayatul Kursi, nobody will interfere with you. I wrap up. Okay. Comes back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh, Nabi of Allah, last night was a bit of a strange development with him. He told me that, I was apprehended him, I was going to bring him to you. And then he said, wait, let's negotiate, I teach you something. And then he taught me something. Now listen to the words of our Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By Allah, I can cry and I can cry for the next hour. Our deen is pure, our deen is pristine. Islam only attracts. It is you and I who dilute this Islam that we distract people from it. Islam only attracts. The Quran only attracts. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attracts. That is the nature of the beauty. But the way I reflect it, dilute it, pollute it, contaminate it, then I give people, no, no, if that's the definition of a scholar, then I'm a regular person. If that's the definition of a trustee, then I don't want to be part of any organization. If that's the definition of a senior, then I'm rather a junior. Because I am defaulting. I'm not representing. I'm representing my interests. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, أَمَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ صَدَقَكَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. Abu Huraira, the truth be told, this thief spoke the truth. But he is a liar. That's a hadith of Bukhari. Nabi Sallam didn't say, bye, he's a liar, bye. Even when he tell you the truth, I tell you, be careful. Eh? This guy, I won't even trust him when he speak the truth. I doubt him on the truth also. No, no, no. Nabi Sallam said, Abu Huraira, he spoke the truth. He is a liar. Nabi Sallam didn't start off by saying he's a liar. Nabi Sallam first acknowledged the fact he spoke the truth. Ama innahu qad sadaqaka. وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. It's a separate issue. His nature is to lie. For the record, Abu Huraira, do you know who you were talking to? Clueless. That is Shaitan himself. The Nabi of Allah acknowledged the fact that the devil said something which in principle was correct. No, no, don't listen to the scholar. Don't listen to him. But what did he tell you? In fact, you know what the ulama write? فِيهِ مَشْرُوعِيَّةُ تَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ. I fell off my feet when I read this commentary. As much as we impress upon you to learn at the feet of those who imbibe the sciences they advocate, it doesn't mean you cannot listen to the truth from a person who might not necessarily practice upon it. Not my words, the hadith. Nabi said, no, no, don't listen to him, don't listen to him. I told, no, no, no. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. That is right. Have the courage. Be honest, be candid. I'll leave you with this last thought here. Sometimes the biggest thieves in your business are those who are blowing the whistle and calling others thieves.